The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. Ian Moss saved Grand Final Day's pre-game entertainment. Good God, did he save it.
I actually didn't know where you were going with that. I was about to have a go at you if you were about to say something about Ian Moss, but because that's his music's great. His music's great.
Mossy's the man. How come he didn't play Telephone Booth? Huh? What's going on there? Oh, let's get a little bit of Telephone Booth action.
His music's great. I don't know what happened before that, but anyway, you're right. He saved it.
Oh, my God. What did the NRL think they were putting on here? Like a 16-year-old's birthday party or something?
Yeah, good clearly grief. Trying to, you know, cater for everybody, but...
Those Stafford brother rejects were at Magic Ram when we were there, and I felt the exact same thing. It's just like, oh, cool, we've got like a $3,000 setup for a DJ setup, and we're just playing music.
Like, they were just here for like a weekend sort of thing. So not like just this weekend gone, but I'm saying, so just to put it in perspective of what, you know, who they think they are, but they're not really are kind of thing. But
anyone can do that stupid crap.
True. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our NRL Grand Final podcast. Obviously only one game
though.
What a game. Yeah, what a game. I was about to say that. What a game. Only one game to obviously talk about, and that is the Grand Final, which was up against the Penrith Panthers and the Rabbitohs, with the Penrith Panthers coming out of top 14-12.
The funny thing to start about it is the last time that the Panthers won in 2003, and funnily enough, 2003... Here's another one. In 2003, the Penrith Panthers won the NRL Premiership. In 2003, the Carolina Panthers won the Super Bowl. So that was a little bit interesting. And also, the last time that the Penrith Panthers won a Premiership, it was a father, coach, and a son player. Funnily enough, 2021, a father, coach, and a son player. You go back to 2003 when they knocked off the Roosters. What was it, like 18-6 in the rain?
Scotty Sattler's like try.
Scotty Sattler tackle on Todd Skinnyburn.
Literally the tackle of the century. Literally.
Oh, unbelievable!
No one ever top that tackle. I don't care what anybody says. It was
the Langs. Oh, God. It was the Langs there. So everybody's favorite prop, Martin Lang, who didn't take one step sideways in his whole career.
It was our favorite pop. We used to have a saying called the Martin Lang syndrome, or MLS, where you just dazed and confused.
Oh my God. He would just, how the hell would he even stay on the field these days with how many times he used to get up with stars in his eyes?
So putting omens in place, are you saying that the Carolina Panthers might win the Super Bowl?
Don't get me wrong. Sam Darnold.
But they've gone all in with Stephon Gilmore, who just went there. That's right.
Maybe. Man, how ruthless is the NFL?
You're right. There's no...
He's eligible to come off the PUP list, is Stephon Gilmore, and it's just like, it looked like when I got the early morning notification that he was just being released, and then all of a sudden it's come out that they actually traded.
I know we're talking about NRL, but Jalen Smith, being a stalwart at the time of the Cowboys for the longest time.
And they turfed him. Unreal. Turfed him.
So clearly you have to be very entrenched in that side or a quarterback, then that's it. Otherwise you'll get released, literally.
Ruthless. It's just very ruthless.
Didn't this game, but like, what wasn't it? It was absolutely physical.
Started with a bang. The intensity was turned right up. Like Penrith a bit, even after last week, like the intensity that Penrith came out with against the Melbourne Storm last week was just, it was unfathomable. And, you know, both of us said that, you know, that we think that South can get this done, because is there a way that Penrith could sustain and maintain the rage again for another week to going into a grand final? It just didn't seem like they would be able to do that. And to hold this South team to 12 points, to two tries, is a testament to that.
This felt, and on not the score, but it felt very carbon copy of their last week's game against the Storm, is that they muscled up and they beat them with defense. They beat the Storm with defense.
Control the ball, control field position, South were just constantly coming off their own line and making 30, 35 meters. Whereas when Penrith's getting the ball back, they're getting it back in decent position, but they were making better progress.
In saying that, and this is unheard of. I don't hear this generally in a normal game, let alone a grand final. But you're right with the field position, because Nathan Cleary had 5 forced dropouts. Like, that's unheard of. That's how.
How bad was South's kick pressure on him? It was non-existent.
You're right. It was the biggest thing that I clearly, it was a mistake. I mean, everybody pointed it out.
It was unreal.
It was absolutely unreal. But that's how they won the game. Like you said, they had the field position. He was hardly touched in that game, which is very unusual. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I don't know what happened there. It was a funny sort of weird game. I honestly didn't think there was going to be a try. Personally, I didn't think there was going to be a try this sort of whole half. I know it happened in 16 minutes and then in the 20 minutes, but it didn't feel like a try was going to happen in the first half at all, the way they were playing. It was just back and forth.
No, look, South did a fairly decent job for most of the game, you know, on their own try line. And, you know, Penrith were building a lot of pressure, you know, that they'd force two of those dropouts within the first 7 or 8 minutes. So they were on the attack from the get-go, and South sort of turned them away, you know, in that instance to just to sort of say, look, it's not going to be that easy for us to crack. And yeah, the Matt Burton try I thought was a fairly simple decoy play to draw in Campbell Graham, and it sort of left Jackson Paulo on a bit of an island where he had to sort of come in, and the hole was, it was too late, and Burton just goes straight through the hole off the decoy run, and it was over. And I thought it was a fairly simple play.
Yeah, I couldn't work, like, really for South, to me, even though they lost, and they lost, clearly they lost, but it didn't feel like for both teams, really, it didn't feel like both teams actually like felt like they were going to lose the game. I know someone had to lose, don't get me wrong, but it didn't. It was one of those weird games where it didn't seem like there was a clear winner and a clear loser, if that makes sense. That's how it came across.
No, absolutely not. And it was, I think it was more of a testament to how well South actually defended to keep Penrith from only the two tries, with the amount of possession that they had, the amount of field position that they had most of the game. Like, the possession. Usually you can come back and say, oh, well, in the second half, things will start to even up. It just didn't. There was just constant. Penrith would be getting 2 and 3 tackles in their attacking set inside South, at least inside their half, to put up a half decent sort of attacking kick and putting their back three under pressure. And a lot of the kick pressure was coming onto Jackson Paulo's side, and obviously they were trying to test out Taft as well.
Yeah,
and he was, man, they were real physical with him too. Like, they, whenever he would make a run back after catching the ball, they were really trying to rough him up.
Luai was just, it was like Luai looked like he was just targeting him for some, and he probably was told to do that, but looked like he was targeting him big.
That would have been a tactic for sure.
So you are right, but it, like, I felt that they won the game was from pure possession. But the main thing that you said is that they didn't seem to this is South I'm talking about. They didn't seem to pressure Nathan Cleary for, and not even like you might go in the sheds in the first half, and then Bennett will say, "Well, this is what's happening." It didn't even seem to happen in the second half.
It didn't happen in the second half either.
Which is kind of I'm sure Bennett would.
Where's the adjustment? Where's the adjustments? Exactly. It's 8-6 going into the half. There was a couple of instances in their first half where the South had a couple of guys go off for HIAs. They had Dane Gagai go off early, you know, inside the first 10 minutes go off with a HIA, just sort of shot out of the line like a missile, and just got his head into the wrong position, and he had to go off. He was lucky to be able to come back on. Not that far after, Jai Arrow got sort of his head. I don't know what you sort of thought about the hit by Kikau. It wasn't worthy of 10 in the bin. You know, people out there are screaming for 10 in the bin. It wasn't worthy of 10 in the bin. It's the same old thing where he's falling. The ball, which is kind of funny, the ball had actually come out already. So Gus was sort of coming out there in trying to be as non-biased, but being biased as Gus does towards Penrith in saying that, oh, well, the hit across the head has got nothing to do with Jai Arrow dropping the ball. You know, that has already occurred. So the foul play has got nothing to do with dropping the ball. And it's like, yeah, okay, what about the Jerome Luai strip? And that was clear as the nose on your face that Jerome Luai has stripped of the ball, and that's why the ball come out. And it only took them, say, 20 seconds to get a good, decent front-on view of the hit, and you can see Jai Arrow's head sort of snap to the side a little bit as Kikau hits him. And it's a penalty. He's been put on report. So it's a free interchange, but you could see that the stripping motion by Jerome Luai, and then you could hear Gus correct himself going, there you go. It's a strip by Jerome Luai. It's just like, just settle down, big boy.
He changed that in the second half when he, it was clearly he, then it was pro South when that whole, I think I messaged you, but he's completely right in what he's saying. I think there was another hit on someone. I can't remember. I don't know if it was. I'm pretty sure it wasn't his hit. It was in the second half.
It's a hit fairly close. It's a hit fairly close towards the end of the game. It was after South had already scored and the kick had been missed. So obviously, you know, we let the cat out of the bag there. If you haven't already watched the grand final, but. So Johnston scores in the corner. You know, we're sort of getting right to the end of the game, but Johnston scores in the corner. Reynolds misses the kick. The kick, oh man, it looked like it had enough curl on it, and then all of a sudden it just went straight and just misses the right hand upright. They're still down two. Gagai is coming off his own line. I think it was the third tackle. And he's sort of hit across the face very lightly, but he's hit across the face by Matt Burton. And going off what penalties have been throughout this whole year, even in the 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks that we had the fiasco after Magic Round, even in all of those, it's a penalty.
Correct.
Every day of the week.
And that's what he kept going on about, and he's right.
And it's Gus technically... Gus was, I think it might have been that 100% footy, and it was a clip of him and Paul Gallen arguing about the same sort of thing. Like, if you can't penalise it with 5 minutes to go in a grand final, then it's not warranted for a penalty throughout the rest of the season.
That's exactly, and he was exactly and right.
That's right, he's and not, it's absolutely not a penalty. It's grazed. No, a couple it's of nose hairs across him.
It's not a penalty, but what he is right in what you
the,
just
the
said.
The way it's been officiated.
It's the way to be consistent. It needs to be blind. That's just the way it has to be.
I thought Jared Sutton had a shocker. Well, not a shocker, but he had some pretty dubious calls in the second minute. There's the supposed drop ball by Jerome Luai, and I don't know what he's looking at. There was no chance of a bobble as he's been brought to the ground. He placed the ball down and played the ball with his foot. So where is he seeing the knock on? And they absolutely challenged it and won. And it's just like, I don't know where he's seen this bobble. And when you look at the replay, You're like,
nah, well, yeah, you're right.
It was nothing.
It was clearly kept in his arms. You're right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, there was a couple of dubious calls. You're right. He did have a little bit of a shocker, really, at the end. Yeah, I suppose.
And then
really,
that call at the end of the game, it's just the way that everything's been officiated. And it's just like, well, like Gus said, if you can't blow that penalty, 5 minutes to go in a grand final, then it's not worth a penalty throughout the rest of the season. And it's such a contradiction on how everything has been officiated throughout this year.
Exactly. I mean, obviously the clear turning point in this entire game was the Stephen Crichton intercept. I mean, that changed the game. I mean,
absolutely.
Poor Cody Walker, give him the ball, let him run the ball, because his 20-minute try was brilliant. That's what he can do.
His try in the first half was brilliant.
He can turn a game like that. They should have gave him ball more. The other thing they should have done was, I thought he didn't have enough minutes, was clearly when they were behind, is Benji Marshall got hardly any minutes.
Well, they brought Benji on for a little while Gago went off, and they slotted him out in the centres. But as soon as Gago was right to come back on, back off to the bench. So they couldn't really use him out there. I thought Penrith sort of missed a little bit of a trick there for that 10 minutes. They should have been running a lot more traffic at Cody Walker and Benji Marshall on that side of the field. I thought they missed a bit of a trick there. I thought they could have exploited that.
You could have taken one of the second rowers off that Colin Matangi for a little bit and put Benji on, you know, and then he could be a roaming lock sort of thing, if you know what I mean.
That's right. Either or him or Jaden Sewer, either or.
Oh, Jaden Sewer as well. Yeah, I do like Jaden Sewer. That's why I didn't say him.
But that's right. But you've got him on the bench for a reason. Mm-hmm. You're not taking Damian Cook off, mm-hmm. So you've got to have him as that sort of lock position. You're not taking Cameron Murray off. It's got to be one of those fringe guys, or you take a huge gamble and take off one of your props.
Cameron Murray.
South's props were just totally ineffective throughout this whole game.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Well, it was
unbelievable.
Until Tom Burgess has come on. But he was built for that. I mean, not having Jai didn't help, but Tom, you know, was just a wrecking ball for 42 minutes, and that's good. That's how you want him to be. But Mark Nicholls very good in this game. He's been fairly okay during the year, but he wasn't that great in this game, I sort of thought.
A good little one-on-one steal at the start of the game.
Yeah, I'm just going on the ineffective forward play of forwards, like you sort of said. Cameron Murray, to me, is just one of those players that I keep thinking, like, and I look at the stats later and everything, and I go, okay, that's why. But he's one of those players where I go, like, he just does everything, but then you don't realize he does everything because he doesn't have the ball.
He tackles his ass off. He's not going to give you those gigantic, meters or anything on that unless he makes a couple of line breaks or something like that. He's not a real, hard hitting lock, but he's a good ball player. He'll give you plenty of effort on the defensive end. And if you need him to sort of make one of those hard carries, he doesn't sort of shy away from it.
I keep forgetting. I feel like he's been in the NRL for like, 20, or not 20 years, but maybe 10 years. But he's only 23. He's literally only 23 years old.
No, he's a baby.
I mean, it looks like a baby face too.
He looks as bad as like when Zach Wilson, the New York Jets quarterback, takes his helmet off. It's like, holy moly, they're playing a 15-year-old quarterback. What are they doing?
I thought the same. But look at Blake Taff. I thought the same thing. He looked
he's a baby too.
He's only 22. So, look, for the most part, I guess just Penrith just asserted themselves, I think. I mean, I've said it already once, but just purely they won the game through Nathan Cleary's kicking game because he was unimposed.
He was untouched, pinpoint accurate, and
650 meters. As you said, Jesus Christ! How much he kicked. Jesus unreal. Christ! That's unreal.
It was crazy. Like,
21 kicks for 650 metres. You shouldn't be able to do that in a grand final.
No, in a grand final. Absolutely not.
I guarantee if we went back and looked at the origin and any stats and that, it would be close to that. So, yeah, no, interesting.
Well, that's a different kind of intensity as well. You know, that's the
possibly.
You know, that's generally the best that the country's got to offer, not just, you know, the best of what each club has got to offer. But, you know, like you said, you know, literally –
possibly.
Like yeah, 5 seconds, or it mightn't have been 5 seconds, but I reckon about 30 seconds before that intercept, I had written down, with 15 to go, it's 8-all, it is desperate times. And then, wham, there was the intercept, and it's like, oh, man, I didn't think it was going to happen that quick. And it just – and but the thing was, too, is when Cody Walker takes on the line, he actually draws in both defenders. And he didn't have to throw the ball over the top.
No,
he's got to do is just have that nice short pass to Gagai.
Yep.
Gagai's through.
Yeah, he did it.
Probably got nobody in front of him left except Dylan Edwards.
Yeah, no, it was. You can see why he did it, but he didn't need to.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So. You just like I said, that's just 8-all. It's desperate times.
Yeah, no, it was.
He clearly thought that the better option was to try and go out wide and try and beat them out wide instead of trying to put somebody through a hole, which he's been so good at this year as well.
Or him running through the hole.
I think that's right.
Took it on a little bit more. He could have ran through that hole. Overall, did you like, I guess, in 80 minutes, that nearly 40,000 crowd, did you like the game in Brisbane?
I mean, they didn't do a terrible job with it. Like it's just like hosting an Origin, but there's just different colored jerseys. Like it's the Suncorp is not shy of hosting the, you know, the big games. They've had big test matches there before. They've had, you know, 1,000 Origins there. So they know how to put on a big event. Like, you know, at Magic Round this year, like there was, The crowds for all 3 days were awesome. I think they were close to 35 plus each day. Yeah. So they know how to do it there.
Yeah, you're right. They do. They know how to do it. You're right. I mean, and still under 40,000, they made plenty of noise, so it was pretty good.
No, exactly. So you could forgive them for sort of saying that it might not have been, you know, as grand a finale as what we thought, with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of COVID action that was happening in Brisbane, so they had to knock back, which is so. That's not to say it's unfair, because life's not fair, but the last, you know, 25% of people that sort of come on board, and it would have been mostly the people of the public and not club members, it's basically like last in getting a ticket and you're the first one off the bus when they took away the 25% of people, which was a little bit rough, I thought.
I made a tongue-in-cheek joke in actually a work meeting and no one laughed, but I said they should have, because I said, well, what if the cutoff was like, they said, you know, 75% and then it was cut off, but it was like a husband and wife, and then like the husband could go but the wife couldn't. And I laughed at that. I said, oh, then someone said, oh, what about the wife? I said, yeah, the same thing. So anyway.
So yeah, other way around, yeah, the wife might have been getting the tickets. We don't know that.
Well, I forgot the age we live in now. So yeah, start of the week, like, yes, he got the Clive Churchill medalist, but are you theoretically giving it to Nathan Cleary? Not saying he wasn't bad. I mean, he was good in this game, but I kind of have someone different personally. But
look, I thought Matt Burton was really good in this game as well. But like you said, there was going to be nobody else who was going to get the Churchill.
Correct.
He had everything was inch perfect. Just like we said, purely based on the fact that there was just zero. Or next to zero kick pressure on him, and you can't do that. And look, it was from start to finish, it just looked like that he was going to be sort of, I guess, the dominant force in this game. And just, I guess, sort of a little bit of a side note, I guess, on Nathan Cleary. If you don't think that proactive works, then all you got to do is take a look at the start of the season and the end of the season pictures of Nathan Cleary's face, because my God,
No,
you can't tell me he ain't busting out no proactive action there.
No, the theory we have running here with a few of the guys here, the theory we have running is he's just got off the roids. That's the theory we've got running.
Yeah, okay, like, all right, I'll buy that one too, I guess.
Like, not roids, but something along those lines, because that's the theory we've got running here. That
in just 8 short months, you can clear up your chronic acne.
Well, he probably could have been that. Just because he was so consistent, I mean, he's consistent all year, and we haven't really talked about him much, but Isaiah Yao, he topped the forward run meters. He's never going to go over Brian Toto, but he topped the forward run meters. He nearly topped the tackle count as well. Like, yes, Appy did 50 tackles, but he did 40 tackles. Like, he's one of those unsung people.
Each team's got to have him.
And that's right. But you're right. Each team has to have one of those.
Could you honestly think that they were going to give the Churchill to Isaiah Yao?
This is the clear similarity with the NFL and the NRL. It's exactly the same as the Super Bowl. You hardly give it to someone else, hardly, than a quarterback. It's just like the halfback or possibly the 5'8". It's literally the same thing. You're right.
The only one that sort of sticks out to me, I guess, with Super Bowl MVPs was like one out of left field was Julian Edelman.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No, it happens, but it's very rarely happens.
Oh, it's very rare. Yeah, it's very rare. Somebody else is going to have an absolutely monumental, you know, game-changing, not just one play, but multiple plays to sort of overshadow what the quarterback means to a team, and it's basically the same sort of thing in the NRL where it's not so much that it's you know, sort of half slash 5'8" or fullback dependent, but they're generally your guys that are going to get it. Like you even go back to the last time the Panthers won. Luke Prittis was the Clive Churchill winner.
Yeah, true. Good point.
It wasn't Craig Gale. It wasn't any of those. It wasn't Ryan Girdler, any of the big superstars that they had there. It was Luke Prittis.
And look, clearly, did deserve the Churchill. It was just like I wanted to give a special mention to Yale because we haven't really mentioned him a lot this year.
No, you know, I just wanted to give a special mention to Proactive.
Well, yeah, well.
Even you have a look at the origin one. When he had that massive gash on top of his head, blood pouring out of him for 20 minutes. Still no blood rule, though. No, still no blood rule, but we'll leave him on there. Yeah, blood pouring out everywhere. It might have just hit one of his zits. Maybe that's why he was bleeding so much.
Isn't that interesting? There, you mentioned it before we move on to duds, that there was so thing. This is going a few years ago, probably 5 years ago, where like the littlest drop of blood, and as you should, you get off the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, okay, tuck the head and all that. Like, it's anything. Concussions, yeah. You know, get them off the field. You should be doing the same thing for blood. They just seem to forget that for some reason. It's absolutely ridiculous. Because you have there's a lot of reasons why. I don't have to go into it.
That's right.
But that
could be stuff that the bunker's looking for as well, because there's cameras all over the place. Like, it wouldn't be that hard for them to sort of alert somebody. You know, it doesn't have to be the referee. It could be the touch judge, you know, to stop things and go, hey, blood rule.
You're right.
You
see half of them have a half pouring and then, oh, no, just go to the back of the game. Don't send them off or stop the game. Just go to the back of the field. Yeah, cool.
No, yeah, that's right. One of the more crazy ones was there in Mackay where Blake Ferguson just got absolutely opened up. I can't remember whose knee. Well, it might have been, was it Brett Morris's knee? Opened him up. It looked like it was like a 2-inch wide gash on the top of his head. It was insane.
And it's really interestingly enough, just to put this in perspective of what we're talking about, is it took a good 5 minutes for someone to go to him, a trainer to go to him. Yeah. So they just, for some reason, they don't care about blood, which is ridiculous. Dud of the week. I mean, I'll start with mine. It's a two-pronged effect, but my dud is Jonathan Thurston. unfairly got sort of, and a couple of words, but unfairly sort of got cut out with his opening.
The acknowledgement to country.
The acknowledgement, and that's fine. That's what they do and all that. But he did get cut off.
It was blown out of proportion by the media. Something chronic. I didn't watch this game live. I watched the replay. I recorded everything humanly possible to get every angle on this grand final, whether it was through Channel 9 or Foxtel. So, but he literally got cut off. He got cut off by like two words.
And that's fine if you just believe the media,
and that's what I was sort of looking at when, you know, throughout the game whilst I was at work. It was like that he was halfway through it, and he was cut off by the Australian national anthem, which was just absolutely not true. I think just the person who was doing the music might have been a little bit nervous, and has just cut him off by literally half a second.
Yeah, it's not even that bad. But
there's nothing to that.
The dud of what he did was his post game interviews where he interviewed our guy we just mentioned, Isaiah Yao, and I think he just bring up just like, you know, how you're feeling and, you know, what a game, and you play brilliant in this game. But he decides to hold the microphone himself.
He's holding Yao's the microphone, and then all of a sudden he's just an absolute awe of the bloke, and he just froze.
He just literally froze, like, oh yeah, no, yeah.
He was here before, but he just froze. He's just got this dumbfounded look on his face. It's like, hello, JT, Jonathan.
Yeah, someone's on the, in his ear.
Wakey, wakey. I think somebody behind the camera would have been waving at him, going, put the microphone towards the person that you're trying to interview. And then he's just gone, oh. And then up goes the microphone. That was, oh my God. Like, if I just had have recorded the game, I may not have got that. So that was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that was so good.
Did you have a dud?
Poor old JT. Look, dud for me was, like we mentioned it before, the basic ineffectiveness of the South's forward pack.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. You need
to be getting over the advantage line. You need to be asserting a little bit of, not so much dominance, but a little bit of authority to try and counteract what Penrith's doing. And Penrith's just doing it with effort.
Yeah, they were.
You need to try and counteract that. They gave Walker and Reynolds just no space, no time. Because all you got to do is have a look at how many times South's got into Penrith's red zone or inside the 20.
Correct.
And they're good.
No, they were. You're right.
You provide them with a few more opportunities, and we could be talking about a totally different game.
Oh, we would have talked about that. They could have won. They could have won. That's exactly right.
Well, you can't have your best forward. He's a guy that's coming off your bench in Burgess.
I don't mind it. It's like that Fafita-esque sort of role where I don't mind that. If the other forwards are laying the platform, so I don't mind that because he makes that impact, sort of like Fafita did when they moved him to the bench, and it seemed to be effective. So I don't mind it if the other forwards lay the platform, but if they don't, you're right, he should be.
That's
out
right.
There
it becomes lost in translation. It just becomes a nothing. It's an anomaly. How come the rest of the forwards, you know, Totola's the only other one that made over 100 meters and just barely. And you have a look at the meters run that was by Penrith. They had three guys in their back line that made over 200 meters, plus a couple of forwards, the starting forwards making over 100 meters. So you know, a lot of the damage is being done running, coming off their own line, but because there wasn't a whole lot of extra pressure put on Penrith kick chase, so they're getting easy meters, you know, before contact, before they're even hitting the line. And all the hit-ups are being made by those backline guys.
Yeah,
so the
exactly
forwards
right.
are nice and fresh.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Like every weird year, they name, I guess, the NRL retirees for the year, the players of the year.
Was Cam Smith really a retiree this year? Was he really thinking about playing? I know they put him in there, but...
I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad personally. I know you got the list there. I know you'll say in a second, but I'm glad they didn't spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes just on Cam Smith because He retired last year. They did enough last year for him. He was fine. So
yeah,
I'm glad they didn't like focus on him, which is good because he didn't deserve it. He got last year.
No, that's right. I guess you know, him sort of leading certain teams on in the southeast of Queensland that maybe they had, you know, some sort of chance of securing his services for this year.
And then technically, he didn't say. Technically, he didn't say.
That's right.
At the start
that's what
of
I said.
Season,
he was luring them into some sort of false sense that hey, you know, he hasn't said he's retired. We've totally got a chance of getting him to either come to the Broncos or come to the Titans, and it was never happening.
It's just a book. That was just a book deal thing. So
yeah, it's right. He even come up here. Did he come to Mackay?
Nah.
He come up here and did some book signings.
Which bookstore?
I think it was at Stockland. I think it's just the main joint at the I think there's like a QBD or okay. I think it's that there. I'm pretty sure there's a massive wide open area there too.
He did come here. I seen the lineup. I went, nah, I'm good. the other retirees you got there?
Look, I guess we had multiple Roosters that sort of hung up the boots. We all talked about them this year. Both Morris twins finished. Nathan Friend and Boyd Cordner, obviously their dealings with concussion. Dale Copley, which sort of caught me off guard a little bit, has decided to hang them up as well. Obviously two Cowboys as well, Justin O'Neill and Michael Morgan. Michael Morgan basically forced into retirement, and yeah, Justin O'Neill just looked like the body was just not quite up to the rigors of first grade anymore. Blake Green, who sort of shifted around a little bit towards the end of his career, I still thought he might have had a little bit left in him.
We sort of had that year long injury, so it's a bit unfortunate. He probably, you know, that probably sort of told his tale of maybe I need to retire kind of thing. So that was a bit unfortunate.
Especially towards the end of his career too, because he's one of those really good sort of, controlling halves that I think a lot of teams could use.
He had a bit of a resurgence, I thought, in the last couple of years of his career. I thought,
look at the Warriors. He went to Newcastle. I thought that was going to be a really good signing for the Knights. That's basically where that injury has come in. Throughout the last few years of his career, I thought he doesn't overplay his hand.
He was sought after. So that just puts you in good stead, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. Russell Packer as well has finally decided to finish off. Like, I guess he was a little bit of a disappointment the last few years of his career.
Too many off-field discretion. That was his biggest problem.
Well, and I guess, you know,
so much potential.
Oh, absolutely. Look, when he was coming off contract before he went to the Tigers, I absolutely wanted him to come up here to North Queensland. Because I thought he still had plenty to offer. I guess there's the indiscretion, on-field indiscretion that he had one day in the rain. I'm pretty sure it was at Suncorp Stadium where he decided to have a little pee-pee on the field while the camera was being pointed at him. So I guess that might have spelled the end of his sort of, not so long as in length of career, not as in how many first grade games he played.
I mean, I'll correct myself. Julian O'Neill, a la Julian O'Neill.
Julian O'Neill, but Julian O'Neill decided to do that in the Breakwater Casino at a blackjack table.
But didn't he do it on the field too? He did it at both of them, didn't he? Pretty sure Julian did it on the field.
He had a PP on the field too, didn't he?
Pretty sure he did. I'm very sure he did. Was there any more?
Hey, man, look, if you got bladder
problems,
you got to go. Isaac Luke. Yeah. Terrific dummy half. Mm-hmm. I guess sort of crippled a little bit by the end of his career by injuries but unbelievable. Like can be a game changer. Has got the intensity. Still had the intensity of a really good sort of hooker. Still fast as well. Like, you know, he sort of bounced around a little bit towards the end of his career as well. But look, I've always liked Isaac Luke. I think he's terrific.
Yeah. Same.
See you, Soliola.
Yeah.
Had a bit of a career resurgence over in over in the Super League for a couple of years. Come back and played really well at the back end for Canberra. Like, he was a centre when he first came in for the Roosters, and then he turned into an unbelievable second rower. So, you know, a la Ruben Wickie.
Yeah.
You know, with Ruben Wickie come into first grade, he's tall, but he was a centre and then turned into one of the best second rowers, and then turned himself into a prop.
When he went
to the Warriors, Ruben Wickie was an unbelievable player, probably one of the best New Zealand's ever had, if not the best New Zealand's ever had.
It'd be fairly close. Probably there's another guy. You probably throw one more guy in there, but you're right. Yeah, he's probably.
I mean,
I was going to say that one of the guys that's retired as well. You could probably throw his name in the hat, but I'd probably say Ruben Wickie's better than him personally.
Ruben, he was just made of steel. Mm. Alex Glenn, hanging up the boots for the Broncos. I thought that was a little. I still think he's got a bit more to offer, but
I don't know.
He's like top five all time. I think captaining the Broncos and top five all time playing for the Broncos.
And you didn't, you know, again, good, great player. I'm not disputing, but I'm just saying this last year, you can see kind of why he did kind of.
Oh, I mean, a step slow, but. Blake Ferguson, I thought that sort of caught me off guard.
I thought he had heaps more to offer. But it wasn't Union. And it's possible he still might go to Union.
Possibly. Look, during the broadcast, they put Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in there. Let's get things straight here. He has not retired. He has not retired. He's gone to play rugby in New Zealand. He has not retired. And let me guarantee this. He'll be back.
Of course he will.
He'll be back playing rugby league.
Of course he will.
He just wants to fulfill a dream, play for the All Blacks. He'll be back.
Trust me. He will.
Trent Merrin. Once again, another guy had a little bit of a late career resurgence over in the Super League. Come back, probably not as effective. When he retired mid-season, he was just like, this game's too fast for me now.
Yeah.
It's too fast.
Yeah.
Josh Dugan as well. Look, throughout the middle of his career, brittle. But in the last few years, he's been relatively healthy, and his body looks like it's held up. So for that one as well, I thought was a little bit like the Blake Ferguson. I still think it just depends on what sort of money that he thinks he's worth and what teams think he's worth. Because if he thinks he's an $850,000 player, he's kidding himself.
But that's the thing, could you play this game theoretically if he got $300,000 or $400,000? I think he could.
He'd go over to the Super League.
Well, you're right. But mate, I think for the lot of the things that he's done as well, it's caught me by surprise for the pure fact I didn't think it was about the money, but I thought that was his kind of sort of that was him. Like, he just good player, great player, you know.
Game changer when he's on.
But then he's done it for the right reasons, which is good. That's kind of what you sort of wanted out of him. So.
I guess last but not least, which is only sort of recent news, is the 31 test for New Zealand veteran in Benji Marshall.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. I think, Benji Marshall, huge, brilliant career. I mean, biggest moment is obviously that 2005 grand final. I'm sorry, against your Cowboys.
Oh my god! All Rod Jensen has to do is tackle Pat Richards, and nobody is talking about that flick pass. Nobody.
Of course,
all Rod Jensen has got to do. All he's got to do is tackle Pat Richards. That's it.
Of course he isn't, but you're right. But
there's no such thing as the flick pass.
He
was electrifying.
But he wasn't even. It's funny, people talk about that flick pass. They didn't talk about the 60 metres and him busting through about three or four players to get to that flick pass.
No, that's right, exactly.
He ran pretty much from the 10-20 metre line, so very quick still. Brilliant career.
Just sort of brought, a new era and a new style of play to the NRL, and you're starting to see that filter through in some of the, young guys that are coming up through the ranks now is they want to be that sort of that electrifying type player like Benji was. He was just a spark.
Very and I'm tying this into our next little bit before we finish up. But very loyal, like a very loyal to his country. Very loyal to his country in terms of playing for New Zealand. He could have done what other people do and played for. Not so much for Australia, but play for the Origin. No, he was extremely loyal to New Zealand, which absolutely is rare. Which is rare. So yeah,
no, that's right. But that's mean right, he's a proud Kiwi, and he wants to
he was one of the ones that won the World Cup.
He likes that sentiment of Test football.
Yeah, I think that's all he wanted was that World Cup for New Zealand, which he got. So, you know, not among other things, but
man,
yeah.
That is the most gigantic trophy that's going around. Like it's nearly as big as the Champions League trophy. It's huge.
It is huge. It is big. Man,
we seen it when we went to the 2017 Grand Final in Sydney and got pictures and stuff taken with it. Holy, it's nearly my height.
Yeah, it is massive.
It's huge.
They have just finishing up. They haven't named a Queensland, Australian merit squad, or merit team, so to speak. But there's a predicted sort of kangaroo squad that they're looking at naming. I mean, I'll just go 1-17, but they've got Trbojevic at 1, Ruben Garrick at 2, Gagai and Burton in the centres, Adekar on the other wing. Cody Walker, Nathan Cleary in the halves, Saifidi and Christian Welch in your forwards, Cook in the dummy half, Angus Crichton, Cameron Murray in your second row pair, Isaiah Yao as your lock, then the bench is Tedesco, Finucane, and Big Tino and David Fifita.
So for me, you wipe out Tino and Fifita straight away and you put in Payne Huss and Mo Fotowaker.
Would not disagree with that at all. Would not disagree with that.
What did Tino and Fifita do this year that was not so much consistency. Consistency. Mo Fotowaker by far was the best forward for the Gold Coast.
Yeah, and he was. And Payne Haas.
He should be rewarded for that. And Payne Haas has been one of the most consistent props / forwards all year.
Yeah.
Why does he get the shunt?
The other one I've mentioned before we got on here, but I'd probably move Tedesco to the fullback because he was the best fullback in New Zealand. Well, in the Origin series this year, put Trbojevic in the centre, who's played there, and put Matt Burton into that 14, who can play 1-7.
So he's the perfect utility. Tedesco is a waste. It's a waste to have him just wallow away and play.
Have him in the squad, but it's a waste. And I don't see it for the fact of I still think he's the incumbent captain of the Australian squad. So
yeah, that's right. Because Cherry Evans hasn't been picked, so he would be the next natural selection for the captain. So it is what it is. And like
honestly,
you said, Trbojevic has played representative in the centres anyway. So
I don't think he would care. I don't think he would care that he would play in the four. Honestly.
Why would he?
I don't think he'd care at all. He wouldn't care.
He looks like one of those guys who doesn't really have a big ego.
No. Well, he doesn't. I mean, look at what happened in the Origin against you guys where, yeah, he played four, but Fittler said to him, literally do what you do.
Just do whatever you want. Just bob up wherever you want.
He played centre and he defended the centre, but he was like everywhere, like a fullback.
He was everywhere.
And Tedesco chimed in with it. It's like having two fullbacks. It was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Well, he was bobbing up everywhere. It was like there was three of them on the field.
I think that's covered everything, I guess, for this NRL Grand Final pod.
I mean, just before we sort of sign off at the end here, the news that's sort of coming through as well about expansion in the NRL.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we've sort of given our thoughts throughout this whole season about expansion and why it is what it is. And I don't think it would be the best idea right now to have an expanded league and go to 17 teams.
Which means someone's going to have to buy, just throwing
that out
there.
It means there's going to be buys from round one.
Correct.
So I've never liked
so
that.
It looks like it's a foregone conclusion of everything I've read. But the reason it's a
it's meant to be named in the next couple of days. Before the weekend, anyway.
A foregone conclusion. Well, there will be a second Brisbane squad. That's, I mean, everyone, you know.
I think everybody knows that.
No one's disputing who it's going to be. It's going to be a Brisbane squad. Most likely, it looks like the Redcliffe Dolphins. The reason it looks like it's going ahead because the heads, Volandes and Abdo, have flown all the way to the US to speak to one Lachlan Murdoch, who owns or is like the Murdoch family. So it owns News Corp, who own Foxtel as well. So News Corp is, you know, newspapers galore, but obviously own Foxtel as well. They've gone to him and said, we're looking at a 17th squad. But other 16 other teams are worried about, you know, getting that $13 million annually a year. You know, if will it sort of cut into that? What can we do about it? He said, well, look, I can give you an extra $100 million a year on top of the deal, which I don't know the other deal, you know, the Foxtel deal, but I'll give you $100 million a year.
Just be part of the broadcasting rights. They just added in on there.
To help this and to help the 17 squad.
They're going to need some help when they come in.
Correct. Under the proviso,
an expansion franchise, doesn't matter what sport it is always going to need a little bit of a leg up to get off the ground.
Correct. Under the proviso that there's less Brisbane Broncos games shown on free to air.
Thank you, Lord. Like, I don't care. To me, it doesn't bother me because I don't watch free to air at all. I don't watch the games on free-to-air. I was forced to watch the Origins on free-to-air, and I was also forced to watch the Grand Final on free-to-air. To me, it should be shared around because that's your prime time game.
So Brisbane,
Friday,
Brisbane's
five,
it's not even the Friday. Brisbane is your biggest TV viewing audience. Brisbane Broncos have the biggest TV viewing audience. I mean, it's evident everywhere you go. They just are. That's just, they pull the numbers and they just are.
Yeah, that's right. So that means Channel 9 can command the big fat dollars when they do their advertising.
So Channel 9 have a deal, or now by the looks of probably had a deal in place where they get to choose, doesn't have to always do this, but they get to choose a maximum of 18 games that Broncos can play on Channel 9. Understandably, that's over two thirds of the entire year. So understandably, you could see why Murdoch wants to do it, because he wants to drive Queensland viewers to Foxtel / KO, which makes sense because, you know, that's just the way it is. And possibly,
well,
then
see, before it used to be, just to drive you to Foxtel, and some people literally you can't afford Foxtel for what they give you, you know, in a cable / you know, satellite TV compared to, let's say, the US. We get stooped something chronic.
Oh, 100%.
Because cable over in the States is so cheap and you get 4,000 stations.
100%. And this is why, like, streaming is running rampant here in
Australia. That's right. That's right. So people, if you just want to get the sports bay, KO is absolutely the way to go.
Oh, 100%. It's what I use, and it's a way to go. It covers everything. It's like recording, but we don't need to. It's like streaming. So
yeah, it's streaming. You get that little bit of lag. It might be, you know, 10 or 15 seconds sort of lag from the live stuff. It's not as bad as what it used to be when you were streaming. It used to be a couple of minutes behind, but it's pretty good now. The thing is, it's always been my problem with this sort of stuff. Streaming stuff, it eats up bandwidth, and B, the internet in this country sucks.
Well, that's
sucks.
You gotta have
now that we're going on 1,000 streaming platforms, the bandwidth around the joint just gets eaten up on chronic, and then all of a sudden you have a frozen Skype screen. Like, you know, what are you meant to do about that?
You're right. That's
like, do you know what I mean? Like, it just, the internet in this country is not designed now that we've got so many streaming services out there, it just compounds the fact.
We're severely lacking compared to everyone.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Country. We're like, you know, for a first world country, I think we're like 50th in terms of the
fastest. Yeah, it's pathetic. Kazakhstan's probably got better broadband
over there.
They
do. Of course they do. So, yes, they will have a 17 squad. It'll be named in the next couple of days. While we don't like it, it's going to happen. And my thing is, like anything with a new squad, it's always going to be interesting to see who their first or second signing is going to be. So it'll no doubt want to be a Queensland player.
Oh, that's right. So. All you got to do is just sort of circle all the way back to, say, around to 2006, just before the Gold Coast come in 2007. The first two guys that come out and put their hand up was Luke Bailey and Preston Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's rumours galore, but look, you know, they're heavily targeting Cameron Munster.
Who looks like he's on his last legs at Melbourne.
Well, that's what if he keeps doing the stuff at Melbourne, as much as probably Craig Bellamy does like him and probably needs him, I'm sure the powers of B will still say doesn't like go with our image. So
It doesn't go with any other club's image. What club's going out there and go, hey, we condone team, the snorting team, of cocaine? Like
a new team basically could just mean for him like wipe the slate clean, and then you know, and people will not forget, but you know, it'd be wipe the slate clean kind of thing, start again.
Yeah, so. start afresh. But it just befuddles me why, you know, once again, you know, I'm always of the same stance of. We've just come off two of like the worst money generating years in you know, since the NRL's been put back together after the Super League War in 1998. So why are we looking at expansion now? Like where's this come from? Like you expand the game when you prosper. Right now, I don't think a lot of sports are prospering at the moment. They'll be trying to scratch and claw to try and make up for the losses, which the NRL has done really well. And, you know, and a special, you know, just like to give us a little bit of a pat on the back up here in Queensland for keeping the NRL afloat.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Without what's happened up here, it's dead and buried.
You're right. I mean, you are right. If it's going to happen,
they also kept the AFL afloat as well.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. The great thing about it is that they are getting another second Brisbane's team, because that is where the draw card's going to be. You know, to keep AFL and all that out, that is the draw card. That's where you're going to get
That's what they've got to try and stave off. Like yeah, because yeah. The AFL is encroaching everywhere.
Correct.
So they need to try and keep, you know, that southeast corner. You know, as rugby league dominant, so to speak, in that regard. So, you know, they've got to put those pathways in there, and the AFL do a terrific job in getting it into schools and things like that. And it's extremely popular, but the NRL can't be seen to be on their heels. They've got to be trying to get on the front foot, and mm-hmm. they've got to try and combat this.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
And it's also too that a lot of people from down south are moving up to Queensland.
Yeah, that is actually true. That's true.
And with that, yeah, you know, they're bringing in that AFL, not the mindset, but it's just like, hey, we've moved up here from Victoria. That's what we like. That's what we want to watch. That's what we want to listen to on the radio. Why isn't it on up here? Why is this rugby league garbage on up here?
You're right. No, that's exactly right. That will now do it for our NRL pod. As always, don't forget to like and follow our socials. Another one, as always, just shout out to our friends at gimco.com.au, our trading friends there.
Yeah, look, they've got a few spots left in the NBA Sunday break. That's still up from this previous week. I think there were 7 spots when I checked before we come on. So check those guys out. They've always got, you know, the latest stuff. The NBA breaks are awesome. You know, Mojo King does a terrific job with those. Also Dom doing the NFL breaks, which I've been in a couple over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, always do a great job there. Always good value. So yeah, do us a favor, do us a solid. Check those guys out at gimco.com.au, G-I-M-K-O, and check them out on Facebook at Eureka Sports Cards as well. Obviously the new season of the NBA is coming up, so it's a little bit funny to me why the NBA isn't quite selling out as quickly as what it used to. It used to be super popular. So, yeah, it used to be cheap-ass Sundays. So, yeah, it's a bit funny why they're not selling out at the moment. But give those guys a shot, because the breaks are super fun. And yeah, you always get your money's worth. And he's just got the gift, Mojo King. He pulls them big cards. I don't know what it is, whether it's just there, yeah, but he's just got the gift.
It's just like, just wait till the start of the season. That's probably the only reason, because we're not in the season yet. So it's not being, you know,
hey, look, man, preseason is here right now.
I'm talking about why it's not being sold out. It's possible that, you know, once people get in the thick of the season, that may sort of make sense.
No, that's right. Yeah. The NFL's a bit different. It sort of goes through those real lows throughout that 6 months or so where they don't have it on. So, but yeah, the NFL's just going gangbusters at the moment, and they're selling out quite quickly. So it's excellent. So yeah, check those guys out. Check out Top End Rugby League as well. They had their big extravaganza, grand final break. So thanks again to Dwayne for that. I'll be awaiting my Gold Coast Titans cards in the mail. So thanks again. Thanks again to those guys for allowing us to post on their platform as well. So we're out there. Check us out on Spotify, SoundCloud, Twitter. Mm-hmm. We're all over the place.
All right. Well, my name is Jason Proactive Smith. Thanks, Nathan Cleary.
Thanks, Nathan Cleary, for my nice clear face. I'm Miles, Alex Johnston, nearly killed everybody's Maltese plum. Man, everybody would have been.
What are you talking about?
Been sweating. People would have been sweating on their Maltese with Alex Johnston anytime try scorer.
Oh, I was sweating, and I was all good up until South lost. My Maltese was great, and South lost it. But everybody had Alex Johnston in their Maltese. It's just a foregone conclusion.
I used the last $10 in my Ned's account to put on the NFL, and those dirty, rotten New York Jets screwed me. So that was very disappointing, because I was looking at putting the Giants. Oh my god! Like Tennessee, come on, man! Tennessee really?
Just shows you, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that.
Football. That's what happened. Football happened.
We'll talk about that coming up.
Oh my god, that was just brutal. Like $1.38. Like, come on, Tennessee. I don't care whether they didn't have their top two wide receivers. I don't care.
And I would have loved to see, like, just because of that, I would have loved to see to take a flyer on what you the Jets were paying to win that.
Well, if you sort of go off that, if they're paying $1.38, the Jets would have been paying over $4.
Yeah, nice.
and like, honestly, I think the line was like 12.5.
Ah, okay. Yeah. No, I would have taken the straight win, but yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah, you would have taken them straight up, but to even some people would have gone out there and gone Tennessee, like, yeah, no, they, you know, they should be able to win by two touchdowns. Like, yeah, the New York Jets were on some historic streak of, once they're down seven, they'd lost like 28 in a row. So as soon as they go down a touchdown, that's it. They instantly lose.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That is insane. How many teams go down a touchdown early on an opening drive, touchdown drive? And if it's the Jets, it's an instant loss.
Well, we'll cover that on our next NFL pod. So.
Unbelievable. Oh, man, this week's NFL, holy moly, this week's NFL has just got, man, it has got some doozies in it.
Gonna be fun. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it on our next pod, so look forward to that. Up until then, have a good week, everyone.
All right, have a good week, everybody. We'll be doing a little bit of a season review as well with the NRL. So this is not our last NRL pod. We'll be doing one more before we say goodbye to the NRL until next year. So listen out for that one as well. But yeah, the NFL coming up next. So yeah, should be good. So check us out. Wait for that. And see you.